I echo the words of the psalmist who wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. Magnify the Lord with me," the psalmist writes. Together, let us lift his name up high. Welcome to today's service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church. If you haven't done so already, grab those pew pads, fill those out, pass them through, and while you're passing those along, take a look at the elders and deacons that are finishing up their terms here in June. And make sure to thank them for their time and their service. We extend a special welcome to visitors. If you haven't grabbed a visitor welcome bag out in the narthex, make sure you do that on your way out today. Today is Memorial Day weekend, or this is Memorial Day weekend. For some, it's simply a long weekend marking the start of summer tourism holiday. Others, it's a solemn time of remembrance, honoring, mourning those who gave their life in uniform service. We do keep all those in prayer who continue to live with the emptiness of the loss, those who have given that great sacrifice. As we look at the calendar of events, there are many different things continuing to happen here. It doesn't really seem to slow down as we go into the summer months around here. This Wednesday, we have loaves and fishes from 4 to 6 p.m. at Church of Peace. And then baccalaureate service is going to be here. We're hosting that on Wednesday, June 4th. So it's open to all Fond du Lac area seniors that are graduating. And by Fond du Lac area, any connections, even if they go to other colleges. Well, I just put you into college already. Graduated 2 days ago, you're already in college. There we go. So if you're part of the Fond du Lac area, all seniors are welcome to share in that service. Coming up on June 8th, we have Pentecost Sunday. I invite you to wear red, orange, yellow to represent the flames of the Holy Spirit that came and landed on people to make this a bright space as well. Then that same weekend, June 6th through 8th, is Walleye Fest weekend, Walleye weekend, and Sleep in Heavenly Peace is doing a big build down there. I invite you to be a part of that. You'll notice on our announcements going through, there's a certain family that has their picture on there. So done a lot of volunteering. Learn Bucks have done a lot of volunteering with Sleep in Heavenly Peace. We were honored to see their faces highlighting that one. Also on June 8th, we will be having another congregational meeting. Yes, very brief. We need to elect one more deacon. And Gerhard Pretorius has volunteered to take that spot if you so choose to elect him. So June 8th, to close the service, we'll have a very brief congregational meeting. June 14th, Winnebago Presbytery meeting. We've got sign-up sheets out there. We're looking for volunteers to be able to help out. Oh, June 12th. Typo on my part here. Thank you. June 12th, Thursday. So thank you for pointing that out. Thursday, June 12th, we'll be hosting the Winnebago Presbytery meeting. So looking for volunteers to help set up, welcoming people, being a part of the worship service that morning at 10 a.m. So invite you to sign up through the Presbytery website to let them know that, yes, you will be here, even if you're only here as a guest. Whether you'll be here the entire day or not, you can let them know on all of that. Other big news, last week we had our regular session meeting, and last Monday night your session was very busy. Lots of different personnel actions. We reviewed and approved all the job descriptions and the duties that your personnel committee has reworked over the last year. So piece by piece, we've been going through those and brought them all back and said, okay, here they all are together. This includes a new full-time office position of the communications coordinator and administrative assistant, which, as we've been announcing, recently filled. We're excited to welcome Tilly Stetsny coming in here. She'll be starting July 3rd in that position. And as Tilly learns and takes on all the different communication aspects there, Jennifer's going to have more time to refocus her energies. Yeah, she's laughing at me back there. On being the faith formation coordinator and volunteer coordinator, which is a mouthful, but it changes her job description to embrace that holistic, lifelong approach to the fact that our faith needs to continue to grow and to be shaped throughout our lives. It's not just for childhood. It's not a matter of, okay, you're confirmed, you graduate, and you leave the church. No, we continue to grow. More and more adults are joining churches with less and less theological understanding. So there's more importance for that. So looking forward to that. We also continue our search for a worship media coordinator to oversee all the AV stuff that happens during worship and otherwise throughout the church life. But we have hired somebody temporarily to do the audio video editing for our online worship stuff, which includes the audio for KFIZ on Sunday mornings, on our website, on our YouTube channels. Jake Garrett is our new person. He's done a couple of those. You can check out his work, heard a couple of positive things. So John was really complimenting him, and I did as well, on the fact that he makes me sound good in the midst of, you know, doesn't have any of the echo, anything like that. He knows his stuff. So we're excited. Graduated from WLA, has a marketing and social media management degree from MPTC, and he's closing in on his film degree at UW Oshkosh right now. So we're excited to have him here and to see all that he's going to be able to do for us. And last but not least, session approved, Chris Bartelt fully embracing retirement this summer. So she has announced her full retirement. So congratulations, Chris, on finally giving in to the Spirit's leading and saying, okay, other things to do. So her last day of official staff employment with us will be June 30th, but she's agreed to be guest musician after that. We've already got her scheduled a few times, July and August. Worship team is working to find other guest musicians, and personnel committee is starting a new search for music and worship coordinator. So if you know of anyone that might be willing to fill that role, let us know. And the last two things that I have, AV Task Force is hard at work. They're going to be reaching out to you, getting input during June on audio, visual. How well can you hear what's being said, what's being played, seeing things on the screen, the lighting of the room, the sun shining in on our eyes, whatever it might be. The sound of the Holy Spirit when the wind blows through the cross up above, making the little buzzing noise. All these different aspects. Online, in person, all of that. And last thing that I have as an announcement here this morning is, if you're at all interested in LifeFest, please let us know. I'm trying to find out, do we have enough people that might be interested that we could get a group of tickets? So it's not a commitment to it, but we are looking to know. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad as the light of Christ is brought forward, illuminating our hearts and inviting our spirits to embrace the Holy Spirit of the living God, three in one, as we worship.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. We come as seekers, unsure of what we seek. We come as followers, not understanding the one we follow. We come to worship, even though we don't know how. Holy One, by your grace, is where we are. Meet us here, meet us now. Amen. Miraculous God, come to us now, even as your Son came to those first disciples on the shores of Galilee. Speak your peace to our hearts. Touch us with your Holy Spirit. Reveal your word, that we may hear your message this day, and live as your disciples in the days and years to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When we pass through deep waters or go through times of fiery trial, the Lord our God is with us. With confidence in God, our Creator and Redeemer, let us confess our sin. Gracious God, you have called us to be the church, to live out our resurrection faith. You have asked us to place our trust in you and to bring all the good news of your saving love. But we have failed to do this. We have given our faith a back seat to the troubles of the world and to the stresses in our own life. We look for the quick and easy answers. Forgive us for the smallness of our faith. Let us take a few moments to offer our silent confessions. Clear our spirits of the clutter of everyday living. Help us to be open always to your word and your love. Challenge us to move in directions of peace and hope for all people. These things we pray in the name of our risen Lord. Amen. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hear these instructions from Ephesians 4. Accept each other with love. Make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. The peace of Christ be with you. Please take a few moments to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Psalm 67 declares to us that God's blessings are for all people. And during this Easter season, we are reminded that God's blessing of new life in Christ through the power of the resurrection is for all people. Let us claim this truth afresh as we read responsively Psalm 67. Let God grant us grace and bless us. Let God make his face shine on us, so that your way becomes known on earth, so that your salvation becomes known among all the nations. Let the people thank you, God. Let all the people thank you. Let the people celebrate and shout with joy, because you judge the nations fairly and guide all nations on earth. Let the people thank you, God. Let all the people thank you. The earth has yielded its harvest. God blesses us. Our God blesses us. Let God continue to bless us. Let the far ends of the earth honor him.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Acts of the Apostles. Today we are in chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. And again, these are probably familiar to you if you were reading along as we went through our Lenten series this year. Beginning in verse 9 of Acts 16. A vision of a man from Macedonia came to Paul during the night. He stood urging Paul, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Immediately after he saw the vision, we prepared to leave for the province of Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We sailed from Troas straight for Samothrace and came to Neapolis the following day. From there, we went to Philippi, a city of Macedonia's first district and a Roman colony. We stayed in that city several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the riverbank, where we thought there might be a place for prayer. We sat down and began to talk with the women who had gathered. One of those women was Lydia, a Gentile God worshiper from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. As she listened, the Lord enabled her to embrace Paul's message. Once she and her household were baptized, she urged, "Now that you have decided that I am a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Well, last week we talked about a dream about a hamburger. Anybody dream about food? No. You dream about toys? Yeah, that's a good thing to dream about. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about birds. Anybody here know birds? You hear birds a lot. And what happens in the fall when you look up in the sky? Where are all the geese going? Where do the geese go when it gets cold out? They fly away, don't they? They fly south where it gets a little warmer. And then how do they know when to come back? I have no clue either. Have you ever heard about salmon? They swim back to where they used to, where they were born. Sometimes even whales do that too. Yeah, they just know what to do. Do you think they just know what to do? Have you ever had a feeling when you just thought, I really should talk to that person? I haven't seen them in a while. I should really talk to them. And then they needed a little checking up on. It was good that you checked up on them. Sometimes we think those things just happen, but I think that's the Spirit So today, did you hear what Pastor was reading? Paul had a vision. This vision wasn't about food like Peter's vision last week, but this one was about going and visiting someone. Sometimes we have plans. I don't know about you, but when we go as a family, when our boys were younger, we'd go on a trip or a planned day trip, and then my husband would have shortcuts that he decided we'd take. And those shortcuts usually made us go in a whole different direction. But it was a pretty awesome shortcut. A lot of times we found different places we didn't even think about, or people we didn't even know about. They were kind of happy accidents. So you take a shortcut when you visit a train track, right? Yeah. Sometimes those we think are just a happy accident. But I think those are sometimes the Holy Spirit showing us new opportunities and showing us new people. So Paul just happened to go in a place and he ran into some people who he probably wouldn't have talked to about Jesus before, but there they were. And he was able to share God's love with them. So just like we talked about last week, God has all sorts of ways to talk with us. And sometimes those are the Holy Spirit through visions or dreams. Sometimes they're just those thoughts that we have about, I really should talk to somebody. I had that happen last week. I asked somebody, I haven't seen them at church in a while. Do you know anything about them? And you know what? They're here today. I think that's the Holy Spirit talking to everybody. What do you think? Yeah. Let's take a little moment. Let's talk to God about all those ways that we can find the Holy Spirit in our lives. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the little nudges you give us to talk with other people, to maybe take a different turn, to maybe open up our eyes and ears to hear others when they speak. All of those nudges in which you help us to reach out to others in ways that we can share your love and your word. We thank you that you give us opportunities to do all of these things. And we ask that you would help us to open up our hearts that we might find more of those opportunities. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. Strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will hear.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for each and every day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your guidance. Speak to us afresh today. Allow our spirits to connect with your spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend. It marks the official start of road construction season. Along with road construction comes detours, right? All these little detours. Unexpected detours are not always fun. They're not always welcome. They can make us late. They can really mess up the plans that we've put in place. But sometimes these unexpected detours are also pretty amazing. They take us into places in the world that we'd otherwise miss. We might find a great out-of-the-way restaurant that becomes some favorite go-to spot. We might also find some little mom-and-pop store where that little gift that we've been searching the internet for, we can't find, it's right there because of a detour. I've heard of stories where detours have ended up creating lifelong relationships between people that wouldn't have otherwise bumped into each other and would have remained strangers. Detours are good, they're bad. As Jennifer talked in the children's moment about those little shortcuts, reminded me of childhood and riding along with my dad when he worked with Jim Dasso and Seed Corn, and we had to go up into Trempealeau County, north of La Crosse, delivering a couple extra bags of seed corn to a farmer early in the spring. And my dad knew this little shortcut that he had taken the year before. He's like, oh, I know a little shortcut here. We'll take this, no problem. It's going to cut 30 minutes off of the main route that me, sitting in the passenger seat with the paper-folded map, had guided him, said, this is the way we should go. No, he had this shortcut. Ended up being a three-hour shortcut because that shortcut was on the north side of a steep hill and the entire back country road was covered with glare ice. And we had a full-size van, so, you know, we nicknamed it Bambi. Even before that, it was sliding all over the place. It took us 3 hours to get down off of that treacherous spot. Detours, shortcuts, the paths that we take. Life is filled with detours. All sorts of little detours. Maybe your life hasn't been filled with as many detours as mine, but I kind of feel like my life has been nothing but a whole series of detours. I started out in high school and I wanted to be this architectural engineer. Speaking of detours, I just threw them at the AV booth. Now they got to get the camera to catch up with me. These little detours happen in all spots of life. I wanted to be an architectural engineer designing homes, but that would have been 5 years of education and I did not want that. So I took an easier route. 2-year degree, associate's, automotive technology. Well, it wasn't too long and I hurt my back, so I couldn't do that. And so I did this, did that, ended up working for IBM for a couple of years. Then I ended up working at a Christian camp in Minnesota for a couple of years. And I wanted to get back into school, and I had a small college in Minnesota that I was going to go to. And all of a sudden, God called me out to Kansas, and went out to Kansas, and I was able to get my bachelor's of science in ministry, which some people would say having a bachelor's of science in ministry is very fitting for me rather than a bachelor or rather than associates. You know, a bachelor of arts, BS is better than a BS, or BS is better than a BA because, you know, I'm more into that practical end of things, the applied things. At least that's the angle that I'll go with that on. But from Kansas, I came back. I wanted to get back to Wisconsin. And then got into youth ministry and decided I wanted to go into ordained ministry, to seminary. And God had some other plans and went and did some construction, remodeling work for a little while, lighter stuff that I could do. And then I went back into youth ministry and then back to seminary. And it was at that time that I knew I was going to be leaving this thriving youth ministry. And I was trying to work out, okay, how do I tell everybody that I'm going to go back to seminary? What are some plans to make this transition? So I went offsite in time I was in the Madison area. So I went to the Press House on UW-Madison campus. Great Presbyterian spot. Anybody going to UW-Madison, check out the Press House. Went there and I was sitting there with some coffee and doing some reading and writing and bumped into another young man who was in a similar detour of life. His wife had just been accepted into some prestigious academic program at UW-Madison, so they were going to be moving there. And he asked me, he's like, do you know of any churches in the area that are looking for a youth director? I've been down in Indianapolis at Third Pres doing youth ministry down there, and I'm looking for a church up here. Have I got a deal for you? These detours are amazing. Sometimes they take us to places that we don't want to go, and other times God answers those prayers and gives us true shortcuts. When I graduated from seminary, I found out that I wasn't going to get ordained as quickly as I planned. God had another detour, and it was going to take an extra year, year and a half, to get through the whole process within the Presbyterian Church. I was kind of bummed. And Chris and I went to a conference out on the East Coast as part of a big youth ministry study that had just completed, and our church that I had left youth ministry to go to seminary had been part of that. And as we're there, we sat down just randomly, at a table with two other people, and we started sharing stories and, oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm finishing up seminary, but I'm looking for a youth ministry position that hopefully can work into being an ordained position once I get ordained. They looked at each other and grinned and said, have we got a deal for you? He had just decided to go to seminary, and he was leaving a thriving youth ministry that was part of this same study. God works in many mysterious ways. A couple of years ago, realized God was calling me to accept a new call someplace. So I began the process, and I knew from talking to everybody, this could be a couple-year process. 30 days later, I accepted the call to serve here as your pastor. God gave an amazing shortcut. Life is full of shortcuts, full of detours. Some of the shortcuts are a little bit longer than we anticipate. Some of those detours are amazing and exciting, and other detours, we say, why, God? Why? Show me. Give me some answers. I've realized maybe it would actually help, rather than convincing ourselves that we know a particular path of life that we're on. We know that destination. We know where we have to get to. Maybe if we learn to look at life as one big detour, everything is just a detour to begin with. A divine detour planned out by God. That's more in line with the biblical witness of Christian faith. We're a people wandering through God's amazing and unexpected detours. Last week, We heard the witness of Peter in chapter 11 of Acts, where he was explaining to the religious leaders that God was creating his detour of their faith and was allowing Gentiles to become like them. These outsiders were now following the way of Jesus Christ. And in today's text, we hear the witness of the Apostle Paul and his companions as they're traveling through the regions of what's now modern-day Turkey. The lectionary skips over the first 8 verses of chapter 16. It starts with Paul's vision, this man from Macedonia. But the first 8 verses are important to understand the trajectory for this section, to understand the message that God wants us to hear. So let's take a little look at this map of this journey that Paul was on, this big detour. He started out in Syria and wanted to go through Galatia, wanted to go through into Asia, is where he was targeting to go to. He went through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, wanted to get into Asia. Verse 6 tells us Paul and his companions traveled throughout this region because the Holy Spirit kept them from speaking the word in the province of Asia. Holy Spirit kept them from going into Asia. They wanted to go there. The question has come up time and time again, why? Why might they have wanted to go to Asia? Notice there in the middle of Asia is that city, Thyatira. Thyatira is situated on the Lycus River. It was a strategic location for trade, military purposes. It was a wealthy town. It was famous for producing a purple dye. And purple, as it still is associated with royalty, wealth. It was highly valued in the ancient world. But this purple dye was produced from the madder root, which was a plant readily available in the region. And it was much less expensive than the alternative purple dye that came out of the prized Tyrian purple from snails, sea snails. So this was a rich area. Even today's church planters, they look for locations where they might have the greatest impact to be able to take root, to grow, to have a thriving, sustainable ministry. I think the same was probably true for Paul and his companions. But the Holy Spirit said, nope, at least not yet. They tried entering. They went to Mysia, but the Spirit again said, nope, nope, nope. Mysia is just north of Asia. I think they probably wanted to try to cut down through it and wouldn't work. So they went down to Troas. Again, to me, it seems like they were coming in trying to make that tie in from the other side. That's where Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, opposite direction, across the sea. The man was saying, come, we need your help. So they set sail, eager to join up with whatever it was the Spirit was already doing over there in Macedonia. They arrived at Philippi and were told they stayed there several days. Philippi is right on that north edge of the water, shoreline, seashore city, Roman colony. They get there and there was no real Jewish presence. There weren't enough Jewish males to have a temple, synagogue. So on the Sabbath, they went outside the city gates and they found a place where there might be a place of prayer. Maybe some Jewish people were meeting out there to worship. And as they went out there, they found some women. They sat down and they talked to them. One of these women was Lydia. Lydia, we're told, is a Gentile worshiper, a God worshiper from the city of Thyatira. And she was a dealer in purple cloth. We're told later that she was the head of the household and she welcomed them into her household so much that was against all of the norms of that time. Maybe this was one big divine detour. Life is filled with detours. What are the detours of our lives? What are the detours that God is directing us to journey through? as we continue to thrive and be the household of ministry that God has planned for us to be. In the midst of staff changes, in the midst of taking a look at leadership structure, in the midst of trying to understand how do we be God's people? What are the detours? What are the ways in which we want an answer and we want it now? We just want to know, okay, what are we supposed to be like, God? Who are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? And sometimes God gives us a little detour and says, not yet. We need to remain faithful. And sometimes it's in the midst of those detours that we learn other things. One of the ways that I reframe these divine detours is through what I call praxis. It's an experiment. It's a cycle of practicing something and then going back through and evaluating it. You try something new. How did it work? What did we learn from it? And what should we do from that? And as we do that, there's times that, yeah, things fail in our eyes. Sometimes it might seem like it's a long detour of going through that before we come to something spectacular. And we say, wow, this is what God has called us to do. That's part of the life of the church. The church, during the time of the Reformation, made significant changes. Christians, as they came across the ocean to this new land, had to figure out how to be God's people in a different way. They encountered many detours. We've become accustomed to knowing the end before we even start. That is not the way that God works. God calls us to follow step by step, trusting. And sometimes, as we read last week from Peter, that step by step is going down a pathway that we've been told, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. But if that's where God is calling us, who are we to say no? May we embark on these divine detours, trusting God and drawing closer and closer together as we pray for God's discernment and God's wisdom, as the Spirit leads us and as the Spirit says, no, not now. May we embrace these divine detours. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Invite Mike Peterson. Oh, there you are. I thought you were over in this corner. I looked back and I saw Dick. I'm like, wait, you're not Mike. Wait, Mike, to come up and to share a little bit with us here this morning for a moment for mission on the Pentecost offering, one of the special offerings of our denomination.
Well, just when you thought you'd seen enough of me, I'm back. This time we're presenting the Pentecost paper drive. Pentecost is a time when we try to do special things for children at risk, youth and young adults. And so it seems fitting that this time we've selected the Boys and Girls Club to receive the paper that we can collect notebooks, lined paper, construction paper, like for artwork, printer paper for their office, art or tissue paper that works with that, and post-it notes and crayons or markers and wipes. It also is handy that the Boys and Girls Club is the collection point for the back-to-school shop, which will be coming up, believe it or not, the end of summer. And so anything that they don't need for their own purposes will certainly be part of the back to school shop drive. So it'll be starting next Sunday, the 1st of June, and run through June 29th. So there will be a box out in the narthex that you can place paper and things of that nature. And I think it'll be a good thing. We'll get a little bit of everything that way. And yes, it will get a good head start on the back to school shop as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. This time I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes, our offerings, and we offer ourselves to embark on whatever detour that God is calling to lead us through.
Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Rain it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to. Teach me to feel that thou art always nigh. Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of unanswered. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love. One holy passion, filling all my frame. The baptism of the heaven-descended dove. My heart an altar, and thy love the flame.
We give you thanks, we give you praise for all that you have entrusted to us. Accept these gifts, use them, multiply them to further your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's return to God in a time of intercessory prayer, praying for one another. If you'd like to have someone added to a prayer list, or if there's change to the prayer list, please use the prayer cards or let us know in the office in writing so we have that. If you mention it to me after worship, chances are if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget about it. So please write that down and lift one another up in prayer using the prayer list that we have. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for leading us through life. Lord, we thank you that you illuminate our path one step at a time. We thank you for your word to be a light on our path. Lord, we're so used to having bright halogen LED beacon lights shining out into the darkness, clearing the path ahead of us. And yet, that's not the way that you want us to live. Lord, remind us that you want us to walk step by step, walking with one another. As we journey this life filled with detours, we lift up those around us, those who are part of our household of ministry, those who are part of our community, those who are connected to us in so many ways. We ask for your healing power. We ask for your peace. We ask for patience. Lord, we ask that we would be able to be strong in your name. Lord, help us to acknowledge the ways in which we attempt to control the outcomes of life. Allow us to loosen our grip on our life and to hold our life out in front of us for you to redeem. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts of all those who are in the midst of what we would consider to be a detour of life, and allow us to learn to trust you more and more each day, knowing that you have created all things, you have redeemed all things, and that you are coming again to make all things new. Until that time, allow us to be your church, your people. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for our sending hymn, Go to the World. And following that, I invite you to join us in Fellowship Hall for a time of fellowship and also a time of exploring the fivefold ministry gifts that the Bible has as we take a little bit deeper look into that during our growing connections and fellowship time there today.
Thank you.
as we go to the world, following those divine detours that God gives us, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.